We've been doing the series of gift exchange and really looking at how God gives us his peace, how he's given us our hope. We spoke about on Christmas morning. And today I want to look at God gives us, give God your grief and he will give you his awesome joy. Now, we've had blessings and I've spoken a few occurrences that happen around a Christmas tree. One is when you get given a present that you don't really, really want. And that kind of reaction, like, thanks. You get the reaction of this expectation of I hope my husband's actually really listened to what I really wanted. Or my parents, it's got to be this. I remember seeing a video of a girl that asked for a Frozen doll. And her dad has got a dry sense of humor like me and gave her a Frozen doll. And there's a lot of tears there. This expectation and not getting what you expected. But the next kind of thing we see is this awesome joy, not in what we necessarily get, but I love giving gifts. And when you get give a gift and you see that joy it brings. Now, I unfortunately did something wrong and I'm in the dog box. I bought my son a police siren and light set. The kind of gift parents shouldn't give their kids because there's just this continuous noise that comes from it. He loves it. Like 5 o'clock in the morning, he's like, can I do this? And we're like, do we like our neighbors? Not. And he's got a deal now that he can only go on the end of the garden away from the house. That's when he can have his flashing lights and sirens. But that joy that it's brought him. And that excitement that you have. I don't know if anyone else feels like that. Sometimes when you get that gift. But we see in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, it says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. It's this kind of command that we see coming through here. It is to be joyful. Now, how can you be joyful if you're a Stormer supporter? You definitely can't be always joyful. You know, that's impossible, you know. Alliance, maybe, in the last few years, the last 20 years before that, we were getting there. But it's almost impossible. How do we have, during a time of pandemic, how do we be joyful through this? How do we be joyful when there's such economical crisis, where there's such racial tension that's taking place? Where there's such political turmoil in the world. How do we be joyful? And how do we really be joyful when it hurts so much? Sometimes, I know during Christmas season, it's a lot of joy for families. But I know for certain individuals, it's a lot of hurt that happens. Some that have lost loved ones. And it's a reminder of the ones that they've lost. It may be the loneliness that comes over Christmas period. And we learn to kind of mask it. In our Christian lives, we mask it like we put tinsel on a Christmas tree. Anyone got those real Christmas trees and we chop it down? Something that's actually going to be dead and we decorate it. And don't we sometimes do that as Christians? We're dead inside, but we decorate it nicely. How do we be joyful in these circumstances? In a world that is so broken that things happen that hurt. How can we be joyful? It hurts. And even more so, how do we be joyful when the good things that we hope for don't happen? How do we do that? Well, I've loved some of those meanings of joy. And I think we hear the word joy so often when I ask Sunday school kids, you know, what does joy mean? You know, can anyone tell me about joy? One kid puts up their hand and says, she's the lady that plays the piano. She's married to Uncle Arnold. You know? That's joy. But what is joy? And do we really understand that three-letter word? Well, I've loved some of the definition. It says strength from God to face anything. Strength from God. It's something that's not coming from within. It's from God. It's something that you face. It's that strength from God to face anything. So where do we get joy and how does it come from? Well, I want to go back to Luke chapter 2 and from verses 8. We're going to read there and we're going to read about the shepherds. And it says here, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. The ESV says, where they had great fear. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those in whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. Then they had seen him. They spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered on them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, to which were just as they had been told. Father God, we just thank you for your word, and we just pray that you would speak to us this morning. Just guide us, Lord. Thank you that you know our hearts and that you know us. So we pray this in your name. Amen. So how do we rejoice always through this time? Well, I want to look at where joy comes from, firstly. I think we've got to kind of know our base it comes from. Firstly, we see it comes from God. It talks about this great joy. I have a good news for you of great joy. Now, the ESV turns around and says, the NIV talks about being they were terrified. And the other word here translated is great fear. Where the shepherds had an incredible fear over what was taking place. And it wasn't that they were scared of the angel. It was the glory of God that they had a fear of. Where this great fear turns around and says, "I've got a great joy for you." It's not just any joy. It's not happiness, which is circumstantial. I'm really happy when Man United wins. I really am. But it's so much more than that. It's a great joy. Now you'll see the references, and you go through the New Testament, and you'll see how many times that it talks to joy, and it talks about this great joy. See, it's coming from God. It's not just from anyone. But where we have hurt and grief and fear, God replaces that with His great joy. So what circumstances or situations are you finding yourselves in at the moment? Because God's joy is far bigger than that. For it is His great joy. We see the basis that the joy is basically in love. Who is God? God is love. How do we learn to love? That comes from Him. And so joy, that link, is linked because God so loves us. We have this incredible joy. Realizing who God is and who it is that loves us and what He has done. So do we realize that joy comes from God? Are we trying to muscle in and get it from ourselves? Because I know there's circumstances I've been in and situations I've been in. We were at a point where we've been grieving. Maybe it's been a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a loss of a hope that we had. Maybe it's a loss of a goal that we had or direction or financially and whatever it may be. And we get to this place and you're trying to muscle strength just to go on. We realize that it comes from Him. Galatians 5 verse 22 tells us that it is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is found there. So it's not coming from ourselves, not something we can source up or build up. That's hope. But it's kind of a basis that has to come from Him. Secondly, where does joy come from? It is found in the good news. Now, Luke makes reference to the good news. What is that? The gospel. It is found in Jesus Christ. That's where we find our joy, in what He has done for us. What we couldn't do, bridge the gap between us and God because of the sin that has broken our world and our relationship with Him. He's broken, He's bridged that. The good news. I have good news, great news. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ died for you and me. Do we realize that? Bruce Marciano, in his book written about basically how he, in the visual Bible, Matthew, as he acted Jesus, was asked this question, is, you know, what's the hardest thing you've been had to learn through the scriptures? And he says this, that God loves me. C.S. Lewis asked the same thing. Great theologian of the time. What is the thing you wrestle with? God loves me. Do we realize that God so loves you and me? Do we look to the cross? Do we look to Christmas and just brush it off as another thing? Or do we realize so great is God and so great is His love that He chooses to die for you and for me? Do we realize this? John 15 verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Where does joy come from? It comes from Christ. Psalm 51 verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Don't you find it interesting that the very first evangelist in the Bible is actually the shepherds? Christ comes as the great shepherd who are called to go and see Jesus first. The shepherds. Where are they called from? Well, the fields around Bethlehem, the pastures around Bethlehem, the very place that David was probably called from to be anointed as king. Go fetch him. So the shepherds are called to come meet the great king, the great shepherd. But not only was Jesus the great shepherd, but He was also the very lamb that would lay down His life for us. Who would identify with that best? The shepherds. Where do we find joy? It is in the good news. It also comes in truth. Joy, where does joy come from? It comes in truth. Now, a little bit about the shepherds. The shepherds were kind of outcasts of society. They would go out there for weeks. It wasn't a daily job that they would drive to in their two-tone car keys. Okay? They would be out there, and they'd be out there for weeks. Now, I don't know when last you went outdoors and camped outside. I'm not talking about these caravan sites where you have bathrooms and en suites. They ain't got that. Okay, that's why you didn't see many female shepherds around there, because there was no showers, no ablutions, nothing. These guys probably stunk. Their life was looking after the sheep. Now, sheep are quite boring to look at. I don't know if you've been to the Karoo. Okay. And here these guys are, kind of outcasts of society. They weren't the regulars that were in the temple often. In fact, they couldn't. Their work took them away from the temple. They were kind of the rough cut. If you think of what they had to face, robbers, thieves, they would have to go rescue sheep. They would face the predators that would be after the sheep, and they would be there to protect them. Rough cut, down to earth, guys that probably would tell you as it is. If we had to have modern day shepherds and we went back into the whole sheep industry, I think if we wanted down to earth, rough cut guys, we'd go to Vauxburg. You know, those kind of rough cut, down to earth guys. Anyone has seen that? Anyone from Vauxburg on the line? Sorry about that. Okay, the internet won't work there, so it's okay. but rough cut. If anyone's going to tell you exactly as it is, here are the guys. And don't they speak that? Everyone's amazed at what's going on. Because how can the shepherds here, who are not Pharisees or Sadducees, those that are following the law, have they seen this glorious sign, this glorious miracle, and seen what God has promised? And so they speak. Everyone is amazed at what they have to say because it's truth. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So what's this got to do with joy? Well, if I had to tell you that I have deposited R1 million in your bank account, you'd be like, yeah, but you've got a pastor's salary. You know, you kind of question it. You go look at your bank account maybe just to see if it's true. But if you found out that Nando's had finally heard about all my advertising from my sermons and had decided to pay me for all that advertisement and give me a sponsorship, and you knew that it had come, and I said to you, here's a proof of payment. I've put R1 million in your account. What would your response be? Slightly different. Okay, because it's me, you're probably going, Dan, what's the catch? Okay. But our response is different. Christ comes in truth. We know that God is for certain. And when we trust in Him as Lord and Savior, when we believe in Him as the truth, our joy should respond towards that. So it comes in truth. It is also, how do we find joy? It is often experienced through trials. As we know, Jesus didn't come to serve, but to serve. Where is Jesus born? Not in the 5-star hotel, no Airbnb, but in a barn, basically, in a stable. And so we find joy, as James 1 verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Notice James's love, brothers and sisters, not dear Christian, but brothers and sisters whom I, you know, kind of love. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, find it pure joy. Brothers and sisters, whenever you find trials of any kind. So as Christians, we shouldn't be surprised when we face trials. Another word for trials, suffering. We experience this. I'm pretty certain that Paul freaked out a number of people. What did he do in prison? Well, let's rejoice, let's sing. I presume the wardens, the guards, they would come and like see these down-out prisoners, and here's Paul. Good morning! The joy that must have come from him goes in Colossians 1 verse 24. Now I rejoice that I am suffering for you. Man, I'm so excited to be suffering for you. Why? And I'm filled up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of his body, which is the church. I'm going to do this for you. Jesus suffered for us. As Christians, we shouldn't be surprised in a very broken world that we face trials and suffering. In fact, when does joy really shine out? It's not when all things are going really, really well. When does joy stand out? In the midst of suffering. In the midst of brokenness, we have to cling on to God and say, God, I need you. I need your strength. I need your help to muscle in this very thing that is broken. So we're to expect it through trials. So that's great. We know kind of where to find it, but how do we take hold of it? And then secondly, how do we take hold of it? Well, looking from the shepherds, we need to respond to God. I love how the shepherds, as soon as the angels had gone up to heaven, they said, let us go. The tense there is of immediate. It wasn't, okay, let's phone around, let's see if anyone else has seen this. Let's kind of grab the next person we can to look after the sheep. We've got to find this baby. We've got to go. They responded. Can you find the Magi was led by the star? The shepherds weren't. They were led by the angels and by instruction. And so we have to first respond to God. How do we respond to God? We've got to respond to God through His Word. Firstly, do we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? Do we really know Him, or do you just simply know about Him? How can you tell? Well, through His fruits in our lifestyle. Are we looking to put God first? We've got to look at being obedient to His Word. How is important God's Word in our lives? Does it make a big impact in your life? Or is it just pulled out on Sunday? I'm a dead Christmas tree that I just want to decorate with tinsel and lights. See, the shepherds could have stayed out in the pastures. They could have tested it later. Let's find out what the Sunday Times says about it. I'll wait till News 24 says something. But they responded. Are we stuck out in the pastures? Has God given us commands to do things, to be obedient to Him, and yet we're just staying in the pasture? If you want to take hold of joy, it is responding to Him. A whole bunch of misfit, outcast shepherds jump straight to His Word. I love this, that God didn't go to the righteous, but went to the unrighteous. He didn't go to the highest of high, but He revealed Himself to the lowest of low. Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. We need to respond to Him. For God is calling each and every single one of us to follow Him. Are you doing that this morning? Are you following Him? Or are you still in the pasture, waiting? Romans 15 verse 13 says this, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. As you trust in Him, are you trusting in God? Are you trusting in His Word? And are you being obedient in your response to Him? Trust in Him. See, it also comes through our worship. Comes through our worship. We see the angels. What a glorious sight that must have been. Glory, glory to the God is on high. What a choir. You know, that must have been the presence, the shepherds must have just been dumbstruck, just in awe of what they had seen and heard there. But what do we see? The angels, when they returned, verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen, which they had been told about. See, the shepherds returned to the same old job, but with new hearts. With hearts full of worship. We sing a song, God, I'll praise you through the storm. I want to encourage you, if you're experiencing grief, if you're experiencing turmoil at the moment in your life, Oswald Chambers goes on to say this. It says, if you're not going through a storm, you're about to go into one. I love to hate Oswald Chambers, but he's true. if you're going through that storm, I want to encourage you, worship God. Even when your heart doesn't feel like it, take that step of faith and say, God, even through this, I am going to worship you. How do we take hold of joy? It's focusing on Him. God, I'm going to worship you. How else do we take hold of joy? Well, it comes when we tell others. It comes when we tell others. Here, these misfit, outcast, lowly shepherds go around and go testify about Christ. Verse 17, and when they'd seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had to say to them. They couldn't contain the joy inside. Do you want to find joy? Well, the greatest gift you can do is give someone the message of Jesus Christ. I've got some of my favorite letters in ministry, and it's often, Pastor Mike told me once, gave advice, he said, never resign on a Monday. This is advice he was given, and he's been in ministry for a long time, and I hold to that. So sometimes on a Monday, I pull out letters I've been written from Holiday Club or from various things from teenagers. And some of my favorite letters are around Holiday Club when some of the leaders have written there. If anyone remembers Sam, it's one of my favorite letters, Samantha Black. And she had written a letter and said, Dan, I just want to tell you that I led somebody to Jesus Christ today, and I've changed. You want to experience joy? Well, share the good news. The shepherds couldn't contain the joy that they had. They had to share what they had seen and heard, what they had found to be true. They couldn't contain it. Share the gospel. You may say, I'm not qualified, I'm not a pastor, I'm not this. Hello, these are shepherds that are doing this. The first evangelists. Are we doing that? Share with others. How do we take hold of joy? Well, it comes when I'm satisfied in God. Philippians 4, verse 11 to 13 says this, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed, Christmas Day, or hungry. Whether living in plenty or want, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. See, when we're satisfied in God, we turn around and say, God, you are far bigger than the circumstances I'm going through. You're far bigger than COVID-19. You're far bigger than these things. And God, I want to trust you. I'm putting my hope, my desires, everything I have in you. My trust in you. Because I know who you are. And you are faithful. Are we doing that with our very lives? Saying, God, I want to put you first, who you are. I can't get enough of knowing you, being with you. Do we trust in Him? Or is He a God we pull out of a box on a Sunday? Or we placed Him in our lives, in church? So you want to find joy? Joy comes from God. Know Him. Seek Him. And then lastly, it is found by looking in the right place. The connotation here with the word found, there's a bit of an emphasis on it in this text. Almost as the shepherds have run around everywhere. The fact that people have come and heard and they've been talking to people gives this picture of this massive crowd that kind of is coming around. And they've found Him. The angels would have given Him an idea of the baby basis. And so they find Him. When they find Him, there's joy and excitement in finding Him. What we do in this world is live very negatively. Somebody said, for one, every negative word spread, it takes 10 positive words. There's very little research in this world at the moment done on what makes a person joyful. But a lot of research what brings negativity in. We live in a world that is very negative. You just need to bring up the word the weather in a conversation and you will hear how negative people can be. Bring in politics. Oh, I opened something there. Even now bring up sports now. All right. We live in a very negative world. I've had to kind of stop reading News 24. I was quite addicted. And particularly when they used to bring out the comments and I'd be like, all the negativity. And I found myself becoming very negative. Are we seeking God? Are we searching in the right wrong places? You see, joy, like love, is actually not emotion, but sometimes a decision. I choose to love. This whole line about I fall out of love. No. You choose not to love. Because love is an action, it's a decision. I'm going to do this. But joy is also, God, I choose to trust you in the circumstance and decision. Trust means I hand it over. God, I trust that you are in control and you know what's best no matter what. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God, I trust that you're going to do this. Even if we get close to the fire, okay, even if we get into the fire. God, I trust you, Daniel. I pray and I'm going to, you know what's best and whatever happens is for your glory. God, I want to see you. I want to trust in you. They looked for their joy in the right place. We got that decision. God, I want to find you in everything. What did Paul do? Paul didn't go in house arrest in Philippians. While he's chained in Rome and writing this letter to Philippi, he's chained to a god. What does he see? He sees God's opportunity. Hey, Lord, you've given me a captive audience. Literally. He's in prison. And you've given me a captive audience. God, it's so that I can spread the gospel. That's where I find my joy. I find my joy in you being known, made known. Where are we looking for our joy? I sometimes need to remember, sure, God has been faithful. God really has. As you heard me talk about Sunday morning, just saying that on Friday morning, Christmas has come at the perfect time this year when we actually really need to be remembered of the God's greatest gift. It's come. The lockdown, when churches are forced to close, forced the internet waves to be saturated with the gospel. God, thank you. I realize there's a crisis that's going on. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm seeing what's going on. I know some of you are bummed that you haven't been able to go to the beach in Gauteng. Okay. I'm seeing that. Not oblivious to the things. I'm not living in a bubble. But you know what? I serve a God that's far greater. And he has a plan. He has a plan for us. A plan to give us a hope. And a future. So where are you looking for joy right now? Are you looking in the right place? So we find joy in him. So this morning I want to encourage you, if you're going through turmoil, if you're going through a crisis right now, turn to God. Because he is all that we need. Turn to him. And take hold of his joy. Our lives. Now we're going to finish off by reading Jude 24 and 25. Now to him is able to keep you from falling, from stumbling, and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the God, our Savior, through Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Father God, I thank you for who you are. Oh, Lord, that you know best, that you are not caught by a crisis, that you know what is tomorrow. And Lord, that you bridged that gap where sin entered, where it broke and brought about death. You came to bring life, to bridge that gap. And so, Lord, may we respond to you. May we cling to you. May we live for you in our lives. So Lord, I pray. I pray for those that are going through crisis in the moment, or turmoil, or walking alongside people that are in such turmoil. I pray that they may know your joy and your peace, the comfort in knowing you, in trusting you. And Lord, I particularly want to pray for health workers this morning. Lord, we realize the strain that they're under. Many going and doing this with incredible sacrifice. And some without even that support. And Lord, we just pray. We pray for your supernatural strength for them. We pray for your protection. We pray for wisdom. That they may be so aware of you too. So we pray this in your precious name. Amen.